When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Most tax pros leave a message.
It's Jane. I'm moving on to a TurboTax expert who beat your price. Adam Devine, tell him how I feel.
Hey, tax pro, she's been thinking twice. Best believe TurboTax will beat your price. This is a tax break.
Switch to a TurboTax live expert and we'll beat what you paid your pro last tax season. Make the switch at TurboTax.com/beat your price. TurboTax full service only. Sign up by 12/20/2024 and file by 4/1/2025. Full details at TurboTax.com/beat your price.
That's right, folks. Only four things existed at the beginning of time: earth, wind, fire, and booking by Tunney. That's right. Welcome back to Pod is War. Pod is War is brought to you by the good folks at Chairshot Radio Network in association with the good folks at thechairshot.com, who encourage you to always use your head. Tell them, Amber.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
Christopher Platt is out on assignment today. I think he's rounding up turkeys to make sausage out of, but I'm not quite sure. Taking his place today is none other than, I like to call him Ray Dallas, because he makes cash. It's Ray Cash.
For my friends across the pond, you may call me Ray Quid.
Ray Quid. And from his friends under the sea, you may call him Ray Squid. That's right. We just went earth, land, and sea. Just much like earth, wind, fire, and booking by Tunney. Something does always remain the same, though. Andrew Snowflake Balls Belaz is here today. Mr. Buttchug, how the hell are you?
I mean, it's always some A Belaz, isn't it? Because last week, I think there was a different one. Because didn't you get darker and I got younger last week? Isn't that how that went?
Apparently, job well done by Ray Cash here to collect his flowers from the two men that he filled in for so well. And thanks to Bob, brother of Balls. I'll get to him on Friday when we record DWI. Make sure you listen to that on Saturday. What's going on, gentlemen? The summer is over. We're recording on the first day of September. Shout out to Earth, Wind, and Fire, one of the great, great bands of all time. Andrew, you got a little bit of inclement weather. If we lose you, what's the status here? Do you think you'll be heading back to Kansas to see Auntie M?
Ooh, that's a good question. You know, I didn't collect Toto. I know I'm not in Kansas anymore at the moment, but there might be a Scarecrow or a Tin Man I could hook up with at some point. Yellow brick roads in my area be really weird, though. But yeah, so we got the wind in New Jersey because we got the remnants of Irene, I think it was the hurricane that just hit kind of Louisiana area. And yeah, so there's tornado watches and rain and lightning. So wind, water, and thunder, not quite the same as earth, fire, and earth, wind, and fire, but close.
Let me do my best Al Roker, and now over to Ray for the weather in his neck of the woods.
Well, I mean, it rained earlier, but it's sunny, it's beautiful outside right now. I was gonna say, I've been to Newark, and there are some streets that are yellow, but it's because it's piss.
Yeah, that's different reasons. Yes, you're right.
Welcome to New Jersey.
And I'm glad you made the differentiation between Newark and Newark, because they're two different cities in two different states.
Are they really?
Newark is Delaware, and Newark is New Jersey. Newark is Delaware, Newark is New Jersey.
We just learned something today.
Newark and Newark?
Yeah, there you go. Like, Noah must have named one because it was his Newark, and we're just Newark.
Shout out to Noah. Christopher Columbus make his way over to America, apparently.
And the wrestling company, too, because you know I have an affinity for Noah, but that's a different Noah.
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
All right, ladies and gentlemen.
It's also fucking pork roll, so we're clear.
Okay. Now we're... Yeah, there it is. That's the pot is war I remember. All right. Yeah, you guys rock. That's 5 minutes. We're taking a break. We'll be right back with some interesting, wonderful, lovely topics, and we're going to yell at each other about them. You're listening to Pot is War right here on the Chairshot Radio Network.
This is your boy Kenny Killer telling you to make sure you check out thechairshot.com, bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore, everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, thechairshot.com.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
Gentlemen, NWA had a big weekend. Empower and 73. First, let's start with the Empower pay-per-view, because I think this is an important pay-per-view that... one of the most important pay-per-views that has taken place in some time outside of the WWE within the wrestling, you know, atmosphere. Andrew, I haven't had a chance to check it out yet. I heard it was a really good show. You know, tell me the significance and why it was such a good show this weekend.
Honestly, it was a good show because the wrestling was higher than I expected it to be, because I go in with tempered expectations for a lot of stuff, especially when they're trying to sell so hard on it, not to undersell women's wrestling, but they were really hitting that as the gimmick that WWE said it couldn't make money, and they were referring to it as more of an it and putting the emphasis on women's wrestling instead of just good wrestling and good sports entertainment, whatever you want to call it. And I tempered my expectations for it. The opening match, which even though I love Kylie Rae, and I know Tani, you and I have been on the same page about enjoying her work, I think it was a clash of styles because Chick Tormenta is Triple A and Diamante's hit or miss, who's currently in AEW, used to be in Impact for a little bit. But yeah, that was a clash of styles that didn't work itself out. The Free Babes actually were a fairly impressive tag team, which is Jimmy Wang Yang's sister, Bam Bam Gordy's daughter, and Amazing Maria's daughter from Beautiful Ladies of Wrestling, you know, WOW, Women of Wrestling, all that kind of era of things. They were really good. Everything was like surprisingly awesome.
I have to ask a question. I have to stop you here, and we might get off track early, but that's fine. Did you say the promotion was called Beautiful Ladies of Wrestling?
The Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling. I knew what I meant to say. You know what really threw me off? If you change that G with
yeah, I would just wanted to know if you yeah, I think they significantly went with one over the other for a reason.
Well, you never know, because that first match definitely did blow. So hey, but and Velvet Sky, speaking of things that blow, was on a commentary and she was awful. And she used to be part of the Beautiful People. So that's probably where the Beautiful got stuck in my head. Because as nice as she is to look at, she shouldn't talk ever. Her attempting to do color was like me attempting to speak French underwater.
Uh-huh. I will weave you this basket underneath the water.
It's a croissant basket. That's about as good as I can get. I can do the accent, but don't ask for a word.
No more. Anyway. No more can the female smell Pepe Le Pew under the water.
No. This is French. This right here is French. Italian is more up here. It's more, you have to just put emphasis on a weird point of pie. Like, you know, my cousin Vinny, you know, I'm gonna fucking, you know, chop a horse head out, put it in a bed for you. You know, it's going to be a good time.
I didn't say mafia Italian, bruh.
That's every Italian. Okay, we're not talking cartoon Italian. You don't want to... This isn't Family Guy. You don't need to Giuseppe down at the bakery to get mad at you just because you have a mustache.
It's a me, a balza.
There we go. But yeah, so Melina actually performed really well against Diana Perazzo. Camille actually had a really good match against Layla Hirsch. Like, they did the David and Goliath thing really well. The Invitational Battle Royal, it was a little weird. It was a little clunky to start with, but they brought back some solid names. They had a hometown hero come in late, and she made a good push, and the locals there at the show enjoyed it. And they brought back Debbie Malenko out of, like, literally, like, the annals of history, which I didn't even know she was trying to make a comeback. The, like, woman I of haven't a thousand... heard her since the 90s.
Yeah, I remember her. She's the woman of a thousand holds, right?
I'll give it to you.
No?
I just I'll give it to you.
We drinking a wine and cheese and left all night!
Jesus Christ. But no, so it was good wrestling, solid enough. And then the Awesome Kong, Taryn Terrell, Gail Kim thing, that was nice for anybody that followed old TNA Impact. So
and
it was a nice bit of nostalgia.
Did Awesome Kong announce her retirement then or the next night?
It's hard to interpret. Because when she came in, she saved Gail, spoke a little bit, and then said, I'm done. I was glad I got off the couch to help you of all people kind of thing. And they hugged and everything. So I don't know if she meant done as in retired or done as in she had nothing left to say. So it was left up to interpretation for what I'm kind of going for. Because it's wrestling. No one's ever retired. And it's not like she actually said the words, I'm hanging up my boots.
Well, that's been the rhetoric from all of the reports and conversations after the show is that she retired. And if we're honest, she didn't have a taste of the Hollywood life now. I wouldn't wrestle either.
Okay, I'm not going to argue that.
Here, I got your argument. Can I play your... I got a retort for you.
I have to announce to you that I will never retire!
It seems like more so than any other athletic endeavor that's involved for a longer period of time that wrestlers have the hardest time giving up their craft over almost any other profession that involves such physical consistency and athleticism.
Yeah, plus she still looks great. She got the biggest pop out of everybody. So her presence and just like ragdolling a couple people and forcing Taryn Terrell out and talking with Gail Kim would just like cause such a huge pop compared to everybody else that I don't see her being done.
And to that point, Tony, I've heard wrestlers speak about this ad nauseum, that there's no drug like coming out to a crowd and having them react to you the way they do. And I know all the other sports have massive arenas or stadiums or whatnot, but it's something about that particular feeling that people can't seem to find elsewhere. And this is from people who have played in the NFL or have played in major sports or have done major things, have said the same thing, that it's nothing comparable to coming out into a wrestling ring in front of an arena of fans. But I have a question for you, Andrew, because I know we want to talk a little about NWA 73, because you played the Never Retire drop. Flair had a major moment there. But I got a question for you. I had never heard of this chick before. You mentioned the tag team with Amazing Maria's daughter and all them.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing Maria's daughter has a gimmick.
Oh, Hollywood. Yeah.
That is quite interesting. And as I'm aware, both of you know, there is a subset of Twitter called Black Twitter.
No.
That's quite popular. Yeah. I like to inform the
masses. Is that?
I like to inform.
What is that now? Is that for people whose favorite color is black?
I'm sure there's one like that, but that's not
is
the black Twitter
like
that
I'm
thinking.
Is it like the dark web or no?
I mean, it's dark. It's on the web.
Okay.
It's not quite dark.
Okay, I got you.
But no, yeah, she got the, and that's THEE, like Ashanti Villalonis, the fuck up. Because I think black people kind of sick of the bullshit. Like, I'm all for stereotypes in wrestling. That's what it was built on. If you do them respectfully or with a purpose, I can understand it. But I don't know, man. You watch her. I've never seen her before. This is my first time hearing about her. And doing just a quick deep dive into her, I know that's oxymoron. She looks offensive as hell.
Okay. Well, to be fair, I didn't do that much of a dive into her background because her role in the match was she was the third. She was the manager. And she kind of just came out in her little, what, feather boa or whatever and threw it to, like, interfere. And she kind of was just doing cute, annoying manager on the outside. And Gordy's daughter and Jimmy Wang Yang's daughter did the work. So
you've never seen her outside of that?
Not really. Like, I was vaguely aware of her, but I didn't actually dive in because she didn't even wrestle, so I didn't want to kind of go over the top. And if she has been on any NWA kind of product, you think I'm paying for Fight to watch NWA Power?
Look, I'm with you. I know that it's one thing to play a gimmick on TV, but the thing that's offensive, that a lot of people took offensive, a lot of black folk took offensive, is that she swears that she's not playing a gimmick. That's who I am. And you know how that can play with the white person being urban, which is possible.
I mean,
I cite you PC Tunney.
We also grew up in the late 90s and the early 2000s,
what
right?
Did I
there
do?
Was a term for that type of person.
And it's not going to be said on the podcast.
I said there was a term.
Can I tell you can I tell you a story about one of the most one of the most black dominant courts I went to go play at, okay, growing up and playing basketball and traveling all over the city to go play, right? So there was predominantly almost all black males at one gym, and there was a couple Latinos, and then there was a few white guys, right? So I hope people understand that I'm not being offensive. I'm just trying to describe the people that were there. So I was always hanging out with whoever was there. I didn't really care. And one day the conversation came up and I'm surrounded by like four or five friends of mine that are black. I think there was my one Latino buddy who I rode down there with, and we're sitting there and they're talking about how more than any other culture, white people kind of associate with the culture they're surrounded by, especially verbally and things of that nature. And then they stopped, and these were all pretty good friends of mine that I had played ball with throughout the summer and over a few years. And they looked at me and it with my shoot name, I'm not going to use it. They said, but this guy, you just get whiter.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me. Yeah.
Fantastic stuff.
That's amazing, though.
Fantastic stuff, man. That's definitely not Hollywood. Actually, it probably is Hollywood in real life. Because people, and I hate when people do shit like this, but they went in like deep down in the Maze Maria's Instagram and saw that she was going to fucking yacht club meetings and shit. As, like, you're not hood. So, like, if you're going to play the gimmick, at least admit it's a gimmick. But to play like this is really who I am, yo. Like, this isn't, what's the movie with Jamie Kennedy? Malibu's Most Wanted? Like, let's do better. So I
mean,
that's
you
the
just
only
compared
thing I
her
know.
To Jamie Kennedy. Come on. I don't know who that's a bigger insult to right now.
I am 100%.
If I had Jamie Kennedy's money, I'd burn mine. I'll tell you that.
That's real. And for the record, anybody listening, there's no doubt I'm throwing 1,000% shade at Hollywood. Yes, miss me with her. So I didn't know about her until just recently, this week. So when you mentioned her, it made me think of it to ask you. I don't want that to overshadow the rest of the card because I heard it was a great card. Question for both of y'all, actually, because, and I don't mean to disrespect NWA, but I'm going to disrespect NWA. I understand that the history of that they have, and I appreciate what Billy Corbin is trying to do, and I really appreciate what Mickie James tried to do here. But do you think there's any way possible they could have proven the point they tried to make when WWE ran a full stadium, not a stadium, but a full arena that sold out and was on TV? And said it wouldn't make any money. And they had maybe 200 people there. I'm sorry. 100 people there, maybe. And if they get 50,000 buys, I'd be shocked. Like, I don't feel like the point could be made. Even though the point should be. But I think that was a terrible choice to lead the charge for the point.
You make a good point. And that's also why I tempered my expectations. Because I figured it. The idea was bigger than what was going to be executed, but it was a good show. And they ran a small building for historical reasons. Apparently it's the first time there was an NWA show in there since like 1983. So like they tied it back to the history of NWA completely. And they even brought back Mildred Burke's original belt. So they were making a historical effort. So I feel like this is going to be one of those, when you look back in a couple of years, it's going to be one of those, it's the principle of it, not so much if you made money or what the gate was or how much it drew.
It's like the first Women's Rumble.
Correct. So it's like this could possibly start something. Who knows? But we'll find out in 5 to 10 years, I guess.
I would say, what's the difference in the amount of people that were there? And maybe it was best to scale down and have what it was about take the forefront, considering AEW, in the second time Punk ever showed up on their television live, couldn't sell out a 10,000 seat arena. So, you know, that just kind of tells you
400,000 viewers.
I mean, yo, I've been on top of that.
To 700 after like 1.1 or something, but I know what you mean.
I'm just saying, okay, let's keep the train moving though. We got to keep moving here. All right. We got four more topics and we've only gotten to halfway of this one. Andrew, 73 happened. We have a brand new NWA's world champion and a brand new first time NWA world champion. And I think it's someone that deserves it.
I mean, there's no doubt that he deserves it in a way because he's busted his ass. He's got that old school NWA blue collar kind of look, and he's not a bad wrestler. But if you're trying to put NWA on the map, and if you're trying to get a foothold somewhere in the industry, why do you put the belt on Trevor Murdoch?
Because maybe someone's coming in that Aulis didn't want to do the job to, or maybe they didn't want him to do the job to right away and wanted to bring it back around. How about that?
But then why is Murdoch the guy that you let him take the fall to?
For the feel-good story, I guess, winning it? Maybe that's...
Okay, cool. I got no diss to Trevor Murdoch. Like, Trevor Murdoch is a very deserving person. But you, it feels like to me you just shit on everything Nick Aldis did for the past 4 years.
I'll go even further than that. You shit on everything Tim Storm did for the year and a half that he was running with the 10 pounds of gold thing.
Shout out to Tim Storm, yes.
Mm-hmm. It's a step back because there's nothing, you can't make money off that look necessarily. Because if anybody that cares about the NWA are the people that listen to the Jim Cornette podcast and they still remember 70s and 80s wrestlings anyway. So sure, he looks like, you know, Dirty Dick Murdoch and Dusty Rhodes and that old school kind of look. But like, is that going to bring in a new viewer?
Could it possibly have been kind of a respect and love and kind of a rest in peace to Josephus? Because weren't Trevor and Josephus like really close? Could that have been why this happened?
My understanding is it was probably more of a homage to Harley because Trevor Murdoch trained at Harley School. And apparently he came in one of like a Harley inspired kind of ring jacket. So
they were in St. Louis.
So. Yeah. So I think it was more of the Harley homage and the Josephus one, but I don't know. There's a lot of question marks, and that wasn't even intended to be a Josephus kind of reference. It's just I don't understand where you go from Trevor Murdoch aside from whoever takes it off of him. You know what I mean?
So now your two top singles champions in that brand or the company, whatever you call them, are Trevor Murdoch and bitch-ass Tyrus. What are we doing?
Well, they're two. Who the hell is the national champion currently?
That's the one that Tyrus got, isn't it?
I thought Tyrus was the one that had the TV belt.
He does that because he beat Pope for it. You're right. It was a TV belt. I don't know who the national champion is. Camille's the only one that looks like a legit person. If they build a brand around her, maybe we got something.
Oh, yeah. And she actually finally figured it out, too, because she actually sold during the Layla Hirsch match. And she's actually finally starting to come around. Ah, Chris Adonis is the national champion at the moment.
That's not bad. That's not bad. That's not a bad choice.
So in your mind, you guys would flip them. You'd flip Murdoch and Adonis with the belts, wouldn't you?
Yes.
Makes sense to me. Is Adonis playing face or heel right now?
Heel, because he's with Aldis. He's part of whatever the hell they're called.
Well, okay.
There you go.
But yeah, it just from a look, and this is really, I hate to have this conversation because look shouldn't matter as much as we make it matter. But
it does.
It does, and the difference is if you're running on all cylinders and you're making a lot of money, you can make these decisions. They're not. They're trying to, like you said, grab a foothold and get relevant again in the wrestlesphere, and just ain't the way to do it.
I mean, if you look at some of the big champions at the moment, you got what? Fatu is still the MLW champ, right? And there's a chance he's going up against Hammerstone, so either one of those two monster guys. Awesome to put a belt on.
Right,
Impact's got Christian Cage. That's a veteran. Yep. Everybody loves him, so that's fine. Yep. AEW's got Kenny Omega. People love him.
And by the way, Christian's probably going to lose to Moose, which is the other guy who, again,
You gotta hope. Moose needs a fucking belt. A real one, not just one that they eventually just hand him and give it to him for like 10 seconds and they take it off of him. And then
Shingo.
Shingo or Will, because Will's playing that fun little game of he's the real world champ because he never lost it. But either way, they both look the part.
Bobby and Roman.
Mm-hmm.
And then, even Joe.
Then you got Trevor Murdoch. One of these things are not like the other.
Well done, sir.
You too.
One of these things is not like the others. One of these things doesn't belong. Can you tell which thing is not like the other by the time I finish this song?
Trevor Murdoch.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Ray's official nickname for the evening is Ray. I talk over sound dollars cash today. He's like, that's what I do. Leave me alone. Don't yell at me like you yell at Platt. I ain't here for that.
Please don't. Don't make me grab the pillow again.
Oh, what a night.
Out of context, that's an interesting statement right there.
Fair enough. Gentlemen, let's get into All Out happening, what is it, this weekend, correct?
Sunday, yeah, Sunday night.
Sunday. Why Labor Day weekend? I don't get it.
Because you could sleep in on Monday.
I think that's one of the business decisions I am firmly behind, having the two biggest shows based on 4 3-day weekends. So genius, because everybody's at home.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
It's why we've been complaining about WWE to move to Saturday.
Hmm.
Yes, and they did it, and look what happened. It was such a great booking, notwithstanding, because I know people got
issues with that. Made NXT look bad. It ruined it. Now it's changed its logo. It buries its head. Everybody ran away. People are getting fired.
That train got away from me real fast.
I get the Saturday thing and having the next day to sleep in, but I still don't get the holiday weekend. Nonetheless, let me run down the card for you. 21-woman casino battle royale for a match for the AEW Women's Championship. John Moxley taking on Satoshi Kojima. Pac versus Andrade. Paul White against QT Marshall. Ignore that shit.
Yeah, no solid. Thanks. They don't even care about that.
Solid booking. Chris Jericho and MJF. Miro and Eddie. I look like I just walked in out of the bar. Kingston. The Young Bucks and the Lucha Bros. Dr. Britt taking on Chris Statlander. Kenny Omega. I am the champ and not the main event tonight versus Christian Cage. And CM Punk taking on Darby Allin with the Stinger. Gentlemen, what excites you? What makes your nipples hard enough to cut glass when you talk about this all-out pay-per-view?
Ray, you better start this off.
Okay, thank you. First off, let me say that I think the story has been kind of, it's not dwindling, but it's so much is going on that brand right now that it's not getting the love it deserves. But what the prospect of what Andrade and Pac can do in a ring is so fun to think of. So I'm excited about what they can do there. I'm excited. I know you described him as Eddie just walked in from a bar, Kingston, which he probably did. But Miro versus Eddie Kingston is big, meaty men slapping meat. I'm here for it. And I got to tell you, you know what? I don't like that they use kind of the tertiary New Japan guys. But seeing a New Japan guy face Moxley is kind of fun. I'm not a Kojima guy. But I know they want to be Tanahashi, and Tanahashi too good to come over like that. But I mean,
Kojima's got a better resume than Tanahashi. Let's be fair there.
He does. But as a guy who enjoys New Japan very much but has no bearing or care for the history of it, Kojima's just a guy that eats bread. I could give a fuck about the guy.
Bread Club Dead, come on, Cozy Larry.
I acknowledge how amazing he is.
I know.
You know, the time I've been watching, he ain't been nothing but a New Japan dad. Mm-hmm. And I gotta be honest with you. while I could care less about, I will never be personally invested in the guy. Everybody's got to be interested to see what Punk still has in the tank.
No.
At the very least, even if it's car crash interested, something you got to be at least interested to see, does the, can the guy still do this effectively? So, I'm interested.
Yeah, he can. We already know that. Like, he's been training in MMA. He's been training in MMA since he left, so it's not like he didn't do anything. Like, he's, like, I mean...
If he can get beat up in a real fight, he can play fight long enough to make it look okay. Come on.
You're right, but what I mean is, when he left... A majority of the people thought he was what his nickname was, the best in the world. Is he going to stay in his legacy like a lot of us thought that people like Taker and other older people, Sean, when he came back for the one match in the Gem in the Sand 5 or whatever it is that Platt says? Like, could this be one of those where while they're happy he's there, because he's infinitely more important to that company talking than he is wrestling, but he got to wrestle. So if the wrestling ain't as good as it was before, I'd venture to think someone would say, what the fuck was the point?
See, the big question you have to take from what you just asked is who's going to call it out? Who's not going to forgive it? Who's not going to say, oh, it's his first match? Yeah, but then if you call it out and all of the AEW stands don't want to see it, then you're a hater. Then, oh, well, you know, then, you know. I know. I'm just, it's nothing you haven't been. It's nothing all of us here haven't been for some different reason.
You're spitting truth. That's absolutely
right. It's just going to get buried under haters going to hate and nobody's going to want to see it. And, you know, and let's be honest, the people that thought CM Punk is the best in the world now think Kenny Omega is the best in the world. So that's an interesting group of marmosets right there, just to put it nicely. Hated.
By the way, while there could have been interest in the Kenny Omega Christian Cage match, you blew your load, bro. Like, I don't care no more.
Kenny's gonna win. Duh. Kenny's not losing both belts to Christian Cage.
And I could care. And I know people like her. I don't give a fuck about Chris Statlander, so I'm out on that. So, like, the only title match I care about on the show is Miro and Eddie Kingston, which got put together like last week.
Oh, you don't want to watch the Lucha Bros versus the Young Bucks for the 57th time?
Even if I like Flippy Doo, the fact that you didn't care enough to make this match once again until last week, you know, with a shit. You give me, if you'd have held off and gave me Kenny versus, it should have been Kenny versus Hangman. We know that. But if you would have gave me Kenny versus Christian, you would have gave me Young Bucks versus Jurassic Express for the first time and all out, maybe you got me. But you ruined that.
The only person I'm marginally interested to see how they do is Jamie Hayter, because I was so happy that she got a big stage, came back to be Britt's muscle, basically. And
she looks great.
She looks fantastic. Like, I loved her old look because she was the right amount of, you know, thick and not big, and just everything was really nice. But now she's, like, cut and trim and just muscular and scary and nice. Like, Rhea Ripley level of just delicious. Yes.
And that's a great point, because the buy-in is probably going to be the most interesting match on the card, because with all of the releases and things that have happened over the past year, there's so many new women that they need to bring in, that they could bring in. And, you know, the Joker is always supposed to be somebody important. The last time they had one of these for the women, it was Mercedes, and they didn't sign her. I know she can't come back now because it's not past her. I don't think her date has passed, but I'm interested to see who they bring in.
Ruby Soho.
You think Ruby Riot or Ruby Soho, whatever she's going as?
Yeah, she might. Yeah, she'll probably win.
Should be.
I don't know. You know what I'd like to see, which would actually make the AEW kind of crossover make more sense? Have it be Deonna Purrazzo.
That would
be interesting. Shot against Mickie James at 73 to challenge her for most likely Bound for Glory, but she's beaten everybody in the company, so she should just go hunting right now. She's got the Reina de Reyes title. She's got Impact's title. She should be the belt collector, and she should take AEWs.
And we talk about this Forbidden Door, but ain't not man woman walked through it except for Layla Hirsch and Camille. And but we know Impact got women. That'd be a perfect thing for them to do. I'm here for it. And I don't like Deonna Purrazzo. She does nothing for me. But I'm here for
it. I love Deonna. I don't even mean aesthetically, because she's so Jersey, I can smell it from the screen. But, she's like a female Minoru Suzuki.
I butt chug salt water all the time.
like, without the MMA pedigree, even though she's trying to get the MMA pedigree, like, she's technically proficient. She can strike. She actually makes it look decent. She sells pretty damn well. It's just she has to be put up against somebody who's actually a threat. And then she transitions. Okay, she might not be as fluid as Saber because she's not, you know, the noodle man. But, yeah. Like, she still looks really good given her figure and, you know, who she's working with.
She gets to her Fujiwara really interestingly. I give you that. I'll tell you this. For you, because you're my boy, I'll go back and watch some Deonna matches. But I haven't been impressed. But I'll go back and watch. Yeah. But maybe that's because she still got the stink of NXT on her for me.
Oh, it could be, because NXT ruined her for a little bit.
It did. Like, I completely agree with that.
Like, honestly, if you haven't seen it, the Melina-Deonna match, you might like that, because Melina sells a lot, and it kind of works into the story they play.
Okay.
So start with that recent one, because I thought that was a really good match.
Okay. I'll get back to you then. I'll watch that and let you know.
Are you guys all out of thoughts on All Out, or do you have one last one?
I mean, I barely had any to begin with, let's be honest.
I'll tell you this. I can tell you this. It'll by far be their biggest buy rate, and it'll by far be their worst pay-per-view.
I don't know. Fighter Fest from last year was pretty terrible. It wasn't a pay-per-view.
That's what I mean. I'm talking about the ones that you actually got to pay the $50 for.
I'll have to go back, but you might have a point there. Yeah.
All right. Well, we're going to take a quick break. Before we do, head on over to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. Pick yourself up a chair shot t-shirt. Get it in soft style. Do your epidermis that favor. You only get one epidermis. Do it soft style. That's prowrestlingtees.com/. You only get, one skin suit.
It can grow back.
Yeah, you only get one.
It's a tissue.
You only get one.
So it's an organ.
It's the whole, you only get one organ, though. If you lost your entire epidermis, you wouldn't get it back.
If you're Deadpool.
There we go.
We'll be right back.
Why should you visit TheChairShot.com? TheChairShot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Andrew, we're finally going to have
Wrestle Gland Slam? All right, so this is like beautiful ladies of wrestling, so we're blowing glands and slamming. This is a great podcast. I love this.
Man. I think that could be the title. B, period, L, period, O, period, W, period, Gland Slam. Blow Gland Slam. It's happening. This is Fought as War. That's how we do it. Wrestle Grand Slam. That's not easy. Wrestle Grand Slam. Finally.
Wrestle in front of Grand Slam. You played baseball for how fucking long? How hard is it?
Okay, let me try that. Wrestle Grand Slam.
There we go.
Wow. It's a little
thing. You're magic, man.
He said amalgamation perfectly earlier. But Wrestle Grand Slam is the one that trips him up. And what was the guy named? The Star Lutilini guy? Perfectly.
Oh,
so Wrestle Grand Slam.
DJ Ongalele?
Perfect. Wrestle DJ, Grand Slam is the one that trips him up.
DJ's last name is just an amalgamation of what's been happening with me learning to pronounce
it. And you just
names.
Said amalgamation again.
Yeah. The amalgamation of the
Well, let's get back to Wrestle Grand Slam.
Just say the New Japan show.
So NJPW's got a show coming up, Andrew.
Hey, there we go. Look at that.
What's the card? Someone tell me the card. I don't know the card.
It's subject to change, you know.
Well, that's true, because them boys out there been getting COVID.
Listen,
like crazy.
Listen, I don't even want to tell you because it's subject to change. You just show up.
Can you give me one match to think of? Can you tell me a wrestler?
On the 4th.
Yeah, Tokyo 3K is taking... No.
Yeah, okay. Tokyo 3K, well, they need some kind of 3 because RPG 3K broke up.
Bob Sapp's coming back.
Oh, how'd you know?
Look, I'm here for it. Big meaty man slapping me.
But anyway, so Stardom's going to get an exhibition match on both nights of the shows. So the 4th and the 5th, because they're at the Tokyo Dome, I guess anytime they're doing a Tokyo Dome, they're going to give Stardom the probably dark match opener that's not going to be televised anywhere.
Has Stardom done any work with Blow?
No. No, it's a different culture. They're very reserved.
Okay, we're going to leave that. Boy. That's your one free one.
Oh, I know. I was waiting to see where you were going with that. That's all. But, so, I don't know. The first night, let's just say the main event is Tanahashi versus Ibushi for the U.S. title match. I don't really think anybody else cares about the rest of the show.
It's a bunch of tag team matches?
No, it's Robbie Eagles and Tiger Mask versus Bushi and Hiromu. Show versus Yo. Chase Owens
versus Yo is an interesting match.
Is it, though?
They got beef.
Who cares?
So does Show and
QT. Chase Owens versus Toriano for the King of Pro Wrestling trophy. Who cares? Okada versus Jeff Cobb for like the third time in 2 months. Who cares?
Isn't Robbie Eagles still the junior champion? Junior heavyweight title?
Yes. Yes. So my assumption is one of them is probably going to get pinned, and then the whoever does That's the pinning huge. Is going to get the number one contender. Because I think Hiromu said he wanted it, but I don't know if they gave it to him because it's New Japan. They don't always give people what they want.
Make Hiromu a heavyweight, please.
I don't know. Like, he breaks his neck and he gets hurt a lot. Do you really want him in the heavyweight division?
I do, because clearly you're not going to have him very long.
That's a fair point. All right, you win. I can't argue with that one, just because he's going to take the Will Ospreay level of things and just get hurt and might as well just bulk up and get what you can
out
of
him. Make the money while you got it. And make him a very rich man so that when he turns 45 and he's walking like Mick Foley, at least he got the money. And I'm not trying to say anything negative. I love the kid. But, like, he's not going to slow it down. Have you seen Tetsuya Naito walk lately? Have you seen how that man walks?
I've seen him gimp.
Yes. I don't want Hiromu to be that way.
And them knees are always taped up. Speaking of Naito, on night two, he's in a triple threat tag team match for the IWGP heavyweight tags. It's Tekkers. Okay. Sanada Naito versus Goto and Yoshihashi.
Okay, that's random, but
gonna be overbooked.
Hey, can I give Chaos credit? They are trying so hard to stay together as a unit.
They're trying so hard to make Yoshihashi relevant, and it's not gonna happen.
Hey, you could thank the pandemic for that, because he shows up every day.
It's only because he lives close.
Quite literally.
He can just make it to the building. It's like, we're going to give you a title finally.
That's literally how it works.
Do I get to do Keanu?
Into the side of the ring.
Do I get to do my? Do I get to do my Keanu Reeves for a second show in a row today?
What?
I'm amazed at your ability to show up.
Yeah, basically.
Why'd you clutch your pearls when you had to do Keanu?
Oh no! I was just adjusting my shirt. That's all. Mom! Amazing your ability to just to show up, my darling.
Thank you, Scarlett.
You know, here's another reason why I've kind of fallen out of affection for New Japan. Do you know what they're calling Taiji Ishimori and El Phantasmo currently as a tag team?
I don't. What are they calling them?
Bullet Club's cutest tag team.
Who booked that?
Can we bring in Billy and Chuck?
Who did that?
Can we bring in Billy and Chuck for a one-off?
I'd rather bring in Billy and Chuck. Or Cute Kip. We can even go to Billy Gunn's fucking, you know, DNA when he's part of the Beautiful People.
But that don't sound like gay, though. Bro. Kevin Kelly came up with that bullshit, huh? That's not gay, though.
They're running with it. That sounds like El Phantasmo, because remember, Taiji's first gimmick, he was a sailor boy, which was a boy band gimmick.
And ELP is kind of out there when it comes to the shit he comes up with. Yes, so fair enough.
Yeah, I don't put past them, but okay. Shingo and Evil are the main event, so.
Oh, God, why did you make it worse?
I know, because Evil's involved. Evil actually remembers how to wrestle, that's going to be shit. And Shingo can turn most things that are shit into Shinola, but it's Evil. Evil's been a fucking joke since he's become Bullet Club.
I have no qualms with Evil being a singles guy. I don't know why Dick Togo, but he's not a main event guy. He should be at that IC. Well, that's dead. He should be at the US title level or that never title level.
Evil could be a main eventer if Shingo wasn't so good. Everything that Evil does, Shingo does better.
But that's everybody at the top of the card in New Japan.
I mean, Evil and Shingo are power guys, but Shingo brings more intensity. He's crisper. They were trained both by Animal Hamaguchi, so they have very similar motions and ways of starting comebacks and all that other stuff. Evil just lacks so much comparatively.
I know you're being literal. What I mean is, everybody's better than him. And the top of the card.
Jeff Cobb?
I wouldn't put Jeff Cobb as a main event.
I mean, they've got him with Okada the last couple of shows.
Yeah, but Okada also had a run with
Yujiro Takahashi. Is that we're going with?
Yeah. So like that don't mean nothing to me.
Yujiro Takahashi is low key the best wrestler. No, I can't even say that.
In 2012, maybe. When him and when there was still no limit.
Yes. No, I get what you're saying. Yes.
But not now. He worried about getting his money on time. He wants his yen on time. Okay.
So this show is probably going to get stolen by Eagles versus Takahashi for the junior belt.
That should be a fun match though, because Robbie Eagles is good in the ring.
He is good. Yeah, and Hiromu's great. Don't get me wrong, but yeah, they're both one match cards. Because Tanahashi and Ibushi, that's really the only thing that really carries weight, right? Like, I guess you can kind of care about Okada and Cobb. If Cobb gets a win, that'll probably just extend things into the G1 or something stupid. And then Takahashi and Eagles, because Shingo Evil is probably going to suck.
I know this isn't a TV company, so you can't look at it the same as you look at every other major company.
I mean, they are a TV company in a way, because they're owned by TVASI.
Well, quite literally are, but I mean, they don't book... that way. That's a great point. But I guess to kind of get our way out of here and move on to the rest of these topics, every time I think of a New Japan major card, all I think of is, well, what are they leading to? And I know we're at that time of the year where we're 5-4 months away from Wrestle Kingdom. What are we leading to here? Are we leading to Shingo versus Will Ospreay? Is that what the goal is? But Ospreay got to win the G1.
Does he? Shingo can win the G1.
You're right. I forgot that is a rule. I don't, but they've never done that.
Last time they did it, oh, good God, who was it? Muda back in 2000?
Muda won the champion and won the G1.
Yes.
And called out his challenger. Who was the challenger?
That's a good question. I didn't prep it that much.
Okay. Because I know it's not the only people I could think of at that time with Misawa, but he's All Japan, right?
Misawa started All Japan 2000. 2001 would have been his transition over to Noah. I don't think the briefcase was invented the last time that the champion won. Because the briefcase is a fairly new thing. It was just the person that won the G1 was kind of given the Wrestle Kingdom spot. It wasn't like a briefcase for a title shot that you had to defend. They didn't quite do the Money in the Bank thing until I think 9 or 10 years ago.
So it's never happened in this incarnation. Is it? Did I say that right?
Yeah, that works.
Tony got us all fucking up words. So thank you, Tony. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so I mean, what was Grand it? Last year was Slam. The first time somebody lost the damn briefcase.
Wrestle Grand Slam.
There it goes.
Last year was the first time someone lost the briefcase, so this year we could see Shingo win and then call out Ospreay, which that would be huge, New Japan-wise, at least, because people love Ospreay, and Ospreay's going to be crowing for the next 3 or 4 months about being the real champion.
That would be huge, but one more question for you. And Tony, if you have a thought on this, do you think a card for the Tokyo Dome, assuming that they're able to have the full amount of tickets sold. Do you think that those two guys at the top of the card being on the marquee that is the draw for your card will sell out the stadium? And there's no other sub questions asked then.
Oh, just because Tanahashi's gonna be on the card. And that they could always play that into part of like a retirement kind of thing, because they've been playing, but they've been playing up the fact that he's been main event or semi main for like the last decade or last 12 years. And if it wasn't for what, the 1 year that Jericho challenged him, then he wouldn't have had even a match. So like they really try to play that into the narrative that, you know, if he's not there, then what is it? Or like if Okada gets dropped down, do maybe he starts doing a tag thing with Cho or something like that? Who knows? But like there's ways they can play this. Correct.
Gotcha.
So there's ways they can play it so that the bigger names are still on there in important, quote unquote, important spots. And Shingo and Ospreay, people enjoy both of them. Like Ospreay has a lot of fan support. And, you know, as stupid as the Western fans may think he is, or how against him they were before he was kind of absolved of his, you know, stupidity. But we all think he's stupid. He admits to being stupid. I'll give him credit there. Like, he falls on that sword real easy. But we'll see. We'll see. And everybody loves Shingo.
So basically, it's Jericho versus Triple H. Sell the show with the other cars and let them main event. Got you.
Yeah. Shingo's the draw.
PC Tony's drunk, ladies and gentlemen.
No, so, PC Tony's just mad we didn't talk enough about Zack Sabre. We only mentioned the Techers for like a half a second.
Not anywhere near drunk.
It's crazy to think that if a tag team with Sabre and Tai Chi wasn't so good, Sabre would probably be a main eventer right now. But I feel like because there's
Tai Chi could be a main eventer.
Y'all keep saying that.
Mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I legit thought you were playing Breathe by Prodigy, and I was like, where's my head?
I'm just impressed he had that to queue up. That's kind of nice. But I don't know. Tai Chi could be a main eventer. I don't know why you're not sold on Tai Chi.
I don't know. Maybe.
Wow. So much hate.
He's thrown off as much as you are by the ZSJ theme there. So, all right.
Yeah, you threw us off. Well done.
Wrap up the topic. Last thoughts here coming up for New Japan's Wrestle Grand Slam. I almost said Grand Slam. I had to stop.
There's two matches. Don't waste 6 hours. Watch Tanahashi Ibushi and then probably Hiromu and Eagles. Or if you like car wrecks, Shingo and Evil should be a mess.
New Japan, make me care.
Yeah, I mean, wrestling make me care. What the fuck? Everything's been kind of lame lately.
That's Andrew speaking. Specifically, New Japan, make me care.
I mean, shit, even New Japan doesn't make me happy. Come on, they've got like two good matches every 3 months. I can get that from Impact. What the fuck?
Jason, come save us, Jay. Save us, Jay White.
All right. We're going to take a break, come back. We have two more topics for your ass. Ray Cash filling in on a Thursday evening. Pot is War, Andrew Belaz, PC Tunney, Chair Shot, Radio Network.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Hey folks, PC Tunney here. Thanks to our new partnership with Angry Lemonade, you can save 10% on physical products and digital commissions using the promo code CHAIRSHOT. Head to angrylemonade.net to check out their amazing catalog of products and services. Use the promo code CHAIRSHOT to save 10%. That's angrylemonade.net.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Gentlemen, Where is Adam Cole headed, baby? Yes, Mr. Ray Dollars Cash.
He announced it already.
With your hand up, I could point to you.
He announced it already.
Oh, yeah? What did he say?
He's at the dentist's office.
Mm. Okay.
Cool. Nice. Cool.
Y'all didn't get that news item?
Dynamite drop in, Monty.
I mean, that's probably where it is, because that's where the dentist resides, so.
No, I don't know if y'all saw, like, all jokes aside, Britt Baker put a video up, like, she tagged all the major quote-unquote news sites saying, Adam Cole, I know where Adam Cole is, and she, like, Adam Cole has no cavities. But that was, I thought that was cute. I think he should stay in WWE for no other reason that if, no disrespect to any other company, but he's not going to Impact, and I doubt he goes to Ring of Honor unless they give him the book like they did Marty. So it's really AEW, or I'm just saying, it's either AEW or main roster WWE.
Isn't that laughable now?
Especially because look what happened. He had the book for like 5 minutes and then got the book thrown at him.
Immediately. But if he goes to AEW while they're all his homies and stuff and his girls there are so many people there right now that there's just not enough time. Goes to the main roster WWE.
But Ray.
Begging for
Ray,
time right now.
Ray. If he goes to AEW, he could potentially have a pay-per-view match with QT Marshall.
I mean, he probably would. That would probably be his first match.
Isn't that what we all are asking for?
Yes. No.
We all need a match with QT Marshall or the biggest heat getter in the business, the chairman Sean Spears.
Well,
that's the goal.
No, there we go. No, that's Adam Cole versus Marco Stunt versus Sean Spears versus QT Marshall.
Don't hate on Marco Stunt. Come on. That's just low, bro.
I'd punch Marco Stunt.
Now he's short, but it's not that low. Like it's his height.
That's just punching him. That's just normally, yeah. But you're like trying to punch below the belt, and you're still hitting him in the chest. So
I have to. Here's what two.
But here's what I'm saying is, I've said this before on other podcasts.
The fucking eye.
Well,
like, it's
that's
really
okay. Yeah, Marco Stunt calling for Andrew Velez. I've said this before on other shows. It's not Adam Cole leaving WWE. It's when's Britt Baker's contract up, because she's coming over to get some of that money.
Think so?
100%.
She
Adam Cole.
WWE team way more.
Adam Cole will show up on the main roster and probably end up back in NXT by the end of his career in WWE. But he's going to be on the main roster for a while. Britt Baker, mark my words, she will be in WWE before Adam Cole is somewhere else.
I'll tell you this, and I want you to call Andrew real quick, but I'll say that I can see Britt in WWE. It makes a lot of sense, but for a company that swears they love their women and only books one woman, she's the one they book. So it might be hard to walk away from that.
I don't know, though, but you literally have Glenn Jacobs waiting on a comeback to bring Britt Baker in.
That's a deep cut, ladies and gentlemen. Go look that up. Go look that up. I'm not even going to give it away for you. Just go look it up.
Yeah, I'm not going to say it. That's, wow.
Bye, Tony.
I hate you so much. Go, Andrew.
I mean,
I've gotten that over to, you know what that means when I say that. I'm booking salaciously. That's what that means. You know, it's like Costanzi. He left the clock behind. Marissa Tomei got all mad. What's in the bag? What do you bring here? Oh, the clock's ringing, blah, blah, blah. You know, Costanza.
But I don't disagree with what Donnie said. Like, AEW's got too many people and not enough time on their real shows. Like, who gives a shit about Dark and Elevation and all their YouTube crap, and the way they book is pretty laughable. It's, you know, WCW 2000. So, Adam Cole will get lost. He's just another 5'10 white guy in a sea of 5'10 white guys. So, like, I don't really see why he would go there when he has a potential to do something more in WWE. Will he? Who knows? He has a chance, though.
Let's change the path of this conversation, considering we all agree that the smartest thing he can do is stay in WWE. Where is Wyndham Rotunda headed?
I can tell you where I want him to go. It looks like he may be going to AEW. Where I want him to go is that damn company I hate with every burning fiber in my being, and that's Impact.
Yeah.
It just makes the most sense for him.
Impact, you talk about it.
Putting him together with Sue Young and, like, James Mitchell would actually be really good.
That's the company. That's the company where he can do what he wants, and most importantly, no disrespect to Rich Swann, no disrespect to Moose. They don't have anybody that anybody outside of, like, a mainstream fan could say, oh, yeah, I care about that guy. Maybe you will care about Moose. Maybe you will care about Swann. Maybe you will care about Eddie Edwards for the 15th time. But you will absolutely care about Randall Rotunda, whatever he's going to be called. That makes sense?
Andrew, let me ask you, Andrew, a question then.
Mm-hmm.
How would you fit him into New Japan?
Easy, through James Mitchell and Sue Young. Sue Young took over Kimberly. Kimberly's like gathering people to like sacrifice them or some shit like that. You just have Sue Young and James Mitchell do some kind of ritual and boom, they summon something. The quote-unquote fiend, find a synonym that works that's not copywritten or trademarked. And then there Friend? We go. Then he's just a mindless beast at first, and then maybe he evolves from there. But it's really easy, because remember, Impact is the same company that had the Wrestle House, the goofy Big Brother kind of show that was awesome. That was an awesome segment for like a good 2 or 3 months where they were just doing fourth wall breaks and, you know, Big Brother camera looks and dumb gimmicks. And
House of Hardy.
That too.
The Revolution with James Storm.
With and Prince?
Sonata. No, that's the good Revolution. The bad Revolution with James Storm and Sonata. Serotonin.
Jesus, wow. Bit. Serotonin was a good bring back right there with old young Kazarian.
Old yeah. young and Johnny Devine, right?
Johnny Devine and Kazarian and Raven, right?
What if
there was one more Jabron in that, and I don't mean Jabron like negatively. Like he literally beat the fuck out of the Memphis show.
Oh well, yeah, because it was also Triple X was around that time. Because that Elix Skipper and Christopher Daniels, like that and
before Loki got shipped out the company.
Yes, yes, yes. And before he changed his name to Senshi for half a second and then went back to Loki.
Yeah. Hey, we could talk early 2000 TNA all day long. I love that shit. But I'm naming all the freaky, all the kind of spooky stuff that Impact has done over its history. It's a long
Johnny
history.
Bravo got murdered for 2 months. And then he was okay. Remember, that's the point I'm getting at. And or you could even go with Rosemary's group Decay. Like, there's always a way that you could bring Fiend in with them.
By the way, I know people popping, going crazy for AEW using, like, real, like, licensed music. But using the Nobodies by Marilyn Manson for the Decay was a fantastic use of real licensed music.
You are correct.
Fantastic.
That was great.
So. Sorry, Tony. I know. Yeah, this is your baby.
There we go. So we agree. Impact is where.
Sorry.
Wyndham Wyatt should go.
And by the way, if he wants to go and do a bid in New Japan where he just runs over everybody because you know they love big horses, big horse gaijins, go get your money, big dog. I'm here. I'm here for that too.
Well, that's
maybe he.
But that's
what if he helps Evil beat Shingo?
That was the question I asked you, Andrew, was how does he relate to fitting into maybe a small stint in New Japan, not Impact, and you came at me to be the Impact thing.
I must have missed the New Japan thing. Remember, I've got connection issues because it's raining and crap, so. But there we go. There we go. So
I got it in the end.
He eats Dick Togo. He eats Dick Togo, okay, and then, he kills Shingo, and Evil's champion. Evil forever.
I'm the last person in the world who thinks that Bullet Club is still relevant. And if Wyatt joins the Bullet Club, it's dead. It's dead, dead, dead. I'm sorry.
There's a
no,
bullet,
no, no, but here's the thing. Club. He gets Evil to win, but then he also attacks Evil, so he's his own person.
Okay, I'm with that. But like...
No, you can't really butt-chug blue cheese. You know, the alliteration's nice, but it don't work.
Got him. That's the other Got him. Got him. He wasn't looking for that one.
That's how they stop Dick Togo. They give him really awkward wings, and he has to butt chug blue cheese to try to
chug
down
salt water all the time.
It's a whole Japanese game show. You have to turn on channel 472 TV Asahi 2:30 in the morning.
I'll play it again for people that just listen to the expert.
I think they know. They play it every show. You even play it on shows I'm not on.
I do. It's great. It's my favorite sound bites. That's why I have them.
Great segue. The worst part about both of these sound bites is the fact that you asked me to re-record it because you missed it the first time.
Your fault.
And I did it anyway.
Yeah, that's how good I am. People don't realize how good I am.
I knew what you were doing, and I just agreed to it like an idiot.
And that's how good I am. PC Tunney! Baby! No? All right, whatever. Here, this one. Do you really? If I really want to piss off Platt, I don't even know if I have it in here anymore. There it is. Hey, Platt, you missed tonight.
Chair Shot Network.
He fucking hates that one.
I can see his face right now, yo. I can see him just... That vein gets the popping on his forehead.
Oh, dude, it's good. And his neck, like, kind of fans out like he's a fucking velociraptor a little bit.
Jesus Christ.
No, not Christ. What's Platt. What? Go ahead.
I was going to say, what's the last topic, man?
Oh, you want to keep going?
As always.
You're like... You actually fit in real well. By the time we get to the last topic, they're like, hey, what's the last topic? Let's go. Yeah, I got it. I'm ready to go. We'll be right back. Last topic. Chairshot Radio Network. You're listening to Pod is War.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
All right, I want to piss as many people off as I can tonight, so we're going to label this one State of the WWE Women's Championship just for Greg DeMarco, because I know how he loves those conversations the best.
Oh, man. You're trying to get me to have an angry text message.
No, come on, Meow. It's all fun and games until it's just fun and I'm playing games. So here's what we do. Charlotte and Nia had a match, and I thought it was a really good match. We talked about this pre-show. I thought Raw had four really good matches, one great match. Like, if you didn't check out Sheamus, Drew McIntyre, and Damian Priest for the U.S. title, you're missing out. It's what wrestling is about. You can't deny that those three guys work hard, and they have pretty good personalities going on right now. So Raw was better than usual. While this happened, Nia Jax did actually... defeat Charlotte Flair in a it seemed like it was a contenders match. So I'm thinking the next pay-per-view Extreme Rules here, we're gonna have a Charlotte versus Nia championship match. Now during the match there was some pretty stiff action. In fact, there was a few times where there was some words exchanged. I'm not sure, Ray, you saw the match, correct?
Yes, sir.
And Andrew, you did not yet, but Ray, would you agree with me that some of this looked like it may have been the two of them going at each other, but at the same time, it's really hard to tell?
It looked like it. But again, the beauty of...
Let me add... Oh, sorry, one last thing. To me, regardless of what happened, it made me look at Nia like she stepped up to another gear.
Yeah, absolutely. The beauty of wrestling is supposed to feign a fight and make you think it's real. So... the fact that everybody's talking about was this real means they did their job better than most. Also, Nia is a very shrewd business person. I think that we don't give her credit for because so many people hate her. But she understands that so many people hate her, and she understands that people call her the botch machine. So she does quite often moves that look like they're being botched, but they're really not. So, and granted, some of them may be legit botches, but like the one where she dropped... was it Charlotte Rhea where she dropped her like a back body suplex, back body drop, but instead of going downwards, just dropped her on the back of her neck? That was as safe as all get around, but because it looked bad and because it's Nia, we all jumped to, oh, it was a botch. But I want to go to this real quick. I want to shout out to homie Shug D, formerly known as Pineapple Pete, from AEW, which is a hilarious name. But yeah, Shug D. he had a good thread that I completely agree with, and he said it way more eloquently than I could have said it. But it's hilarious to me that we have these conversations every time women have a very stiff match inside and within the pretenses of a regular match, where everybody starts crying that, oh, well, Nia's being too harsh or someone's being too real. But when the men do, we don't care. Like, the women can be as stiff as they want. We just watched the most stiff match we'll see all year last week, Wrestling Ragnarok with Walter versus Ilya Dragunov too. Mm-hmm. So, like, if you watch Charlotte versus Nia, yes, they got super stiff. Some of those blows looked altogether real. It looked like Charlotte was punching her in the face. It looked like Nia was punching her in the face. They had scratches on their face. It looked like they really went at it. You know what? That's 99% of all the other men's matches. Go watch the Damian Priest, Drew McIntyre, Sheamus match. They was hitting each other with potatoes too. So I hate that we only have this conversation when it's Nia or someone in the women's division we don't like, because that really tells on ourselves as a collective. Because like Tony said, if you look at the match in totality, it was really good. Yes, there's going to be some moves that are very awkward with Nia because she's so much bigger than everybody else. Mm-hmm. But by and large, it was a really fun match that was made better because of the physicality.
You know, you make a great point there, Ray. And I can actually come up with an example to support what you said, that people kind of apply a false narrative just to people they don't like. On Empower, one of the semifinal tag matches was Renee Michelle, which is mm-hmm. Drake Maverick's beautiful wife, her member,
so
Sahara Seven. She is. I'm not disagreeing. Her team partner, Sahara Seven, she's nice too. Like, I don't know if you looked her up too, but Sahara Seven's nice. And they had their match against Allison Kay and Marty Bell. And there was a lot of stiffness in that match too. So much that some of the kickoffs were awkward. Like, they were jagged, like they didn't want to go with the move and came back. And Renee Michelle was bitching in the corner at some point because, because Marty and Allison did the old repetitive boots, just tagging in and out. And Renee was barking at him and barking over at Sahara to get the hell in and fucking break it up. So that whole thing boiled down to like a wonderfully, like, I don't even know, kind of interesting. It looked shooty, even though I doubt it was, but it had that essence of realism that brought a whole different perspective to the match. And that was, I think that was the second match on the card. So following up a garbage match with that was just kind of cool, but I'm pretty sure you didn't hear shit about it. Not only because it was on Empower and Empower didn't exactly have the most hype or the best visibility, but people like Drake Maverick's wife because she's attractive. And people like Allison Kay because of her time in TNA and Impact. And she's got enough cachet with the fans to people don't really shit on her. And Marty Bell has been around, but nobody really dislikes her. And Sahara Seven, not a lot of people know about her, but she's with Drake Maverick's wife. So, no bad blood there. But that match looked real as shit when it comes down to a lot of the transitions. And you don't see people screaming about, you know, Allison Kay and Marty Bell are dangerous or Renee Michelle can't work or anything like that. So it's funny just what you said about how the perspective of the IWC changes how stiff or possibly botched moves are really interpreted from the audience.
And I understand here in the Western world, because I want to give all the respect to the world of Joshis who have been doing this for as long as wrestling's been around, right? But
are you going to bring up 90s Joshis who used to kill each other?
No, I mean, but you could. But I mean, in the Western world here, in America, like on this side of the world, we've only been gotten used to legitimate good women's wrestling for the past 5-10 years, right? You can maybe extend it to a subset of companies like Impact if you go 15 or 20. But by and large, it's blown up in the past 10 years.
It's less than 15, because I think, Bound for Glory, 07 or 08 was the first, was when Gail Kim won the first knockouts. It wasn't right away. So it's still fairly new. You're right. I'd give the decade a good number right there.
And by the way, to mention, it's crazy that TNA did that with literally three women. I guess you could say Hamato, but like it was really Taryn Gale and Kong.
No, not Taryn Taylor. Taylor Wilde.
Oh, well, I was mentioning Taryn Terrell, who had those great matches with
Taryn Gale, was a little right. later. Taylor and Kong were huge in the beginning. When Kong had Raisha Saeed as her manager, who was actually cheerleader Melissa. Yep.
Who can go too? But you're right. Cheerleader.
Melissa. Oh, I was just gonna say she was also Mariposa on Lucha Underground, I think.
She loves doing cosplay, apparently.
Reinventing herself because she's really good at that, and she's not a bad wrestler. So
not at all. But the only reason I bring that up is bring up how little we have really been around it, is because you still see ourselves as a collective fan base having some of that errant sexism in certain things that we don't think of. And I think this is one of them. If the women have as stiff matches as men, as the men do, who gives a fuck? But we point it out every time because, well, we didn't see it 30 years ago or whatnot. It's just say it's a good match like Tony did and keep it moving.
Mm-hmm.
I don't necessarily agree with all that, though, because if you're, let's just say, we'll use the word enlightened, okay? Let's just say you're enlightened and you're not prejudiced against women's matches and things of that nature, right? There was definitely something different that happened during that match between the two of them. I'd like to personally think that it was kind of agreed upon. We're going to work stiffer here and we're going to sell it, because you can't tell me that Charlotte and Nia don't have at least some kind of working relationship.
Of course. Of course.
I think this was agreed upon that we're working stiff and we're going to sell it when it happens. Honestly.
You're probably right. Like, I haven't seen the match yet, so I'll be able to tell when I watch it a little later in the week. But I'm assuming it probably wasn't much stiffer than, like, Akira Hokuto versus Bull Nakano or a Manami Toyota match from the early 90s or anything like that. Like,
nothing like Toyota. Nothing like that.
They used to just drop people on necks and just, like, literally beat the shit
this
out
was
of people.
More,
so,
this
like,
was more hand to, this is more the hand-to-face combat.
No, but
that
you know I, what I mean. Right, like, if you want dangerous or stiff strikes,
no, for sure.
Yeah, that this is probably just more rough than people were.
I get it.
Used to or anticipating. Yeah.
And it involved Nia, and she's a heat magnet, which is why I think they chose to do that, because I completely agree with you, Tony. I think that they said, let's go out here. And if you've watched Charlotte's career, especially since she's really found herself.
She's tough.
As a wrestler, she likes being like violent and physical. She enjoys that aspect of the game.
She excels in the uncomfortability that is presented to the audience. Let's put it there. And there's not many that do in that category.
So, just quick question then. Do you think this was just done to try to babyface Charlotte?
No, because I think this is done to get Nia over.
There's a lot
Nia
of people
over.
That don't like Charlotte.
No.
And everybody hates Nia, like you were saying, she's a heat magnet.
This is to get Nia over. I think Nia's going to win. I think Charlotte is having another transitional championship. I think DP has said it right all along. And DP, in the years that we've done this and the predictions that we've done and the things that he knows about to an extent, to the fullest he can know about, he's usually right. And he said that don't believe in John Cena. Believe that Charlotte Flair is breaking that record much sooner than you anticipate, and they're on that road. And that's why she just won the belt. She can drop it again. She could head over to SmackDown, and she can feud with Becky Lynch and win that belt and go back and forth. I think before we know it, Charlotte's going to be the one that's a 17-time champion.
And one more quick thing. I know that they kind of changed a lot of notes they had from last week, but let's not forget that trying to find a babyface in this situation between Charlotte and Nia, Alexa did just come out and like confront Charlotte for
December
a quick
28th,
minute.
1993. By the way,
Alexa don't agree with your shit, Ray. So you just sit there and be
Alexa
quiet.
Alexa just came out and she's
Alexa
just
said,
I am the
just so you know, Ray. Yeah.
All of this angle.
Just so you know, Ray, you're full of shit, Alexa said. I might have to ban you for the rest of the show.
Show's over.
No. Pop.
That's a good answer.
Show is over now. Gentlemen, last wrestling thoughts. Overall, great show today before we close it out here. Pod is War on Chairshot Radio Network, September 1st. You're listening September 2nd. Ray, go ahead.
Hey, man. Definitely try to check out some of the wrestling this weekend. There'll be definitely some interesting stuff going on. I'm a big believer in purchasing for things, but by all means, do what you do. But nonetheless, there's gonna be something inevitably between All Out and Wrestle Grand Slam that I can say coherently that we'll be talking about next week. Nonetheless, in the meantime, between the hours of 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. on April 1st, so you know that means don't follow me. You can follow me on Twitter at, I can't think of anybody funny. It's Ray Cash. R-Y is Mysterio, C-A-S-H as in dollars. I can't think of somebody funny.
Andrew, go ahead. Last wrestling thought and throw it out there.
Good God, I hope Wrestle Grand Slam doesn't suck. Like, looking at the cards, it's underwhelming. They're both one-match cards, and I just, New Japan needs to figure it out. Thank God they've got the G1 coming up, because they need something to spark interest and creativity, because whatever the hell it's been during this pandemic, ain't it, Chief? I'm sorry. But, yeah, so you find me on the Twitter, at IWC War Chief, and you can also catch, you know, New Japan reviews, and even album reviews on thechairshot.com.
I saw that. Taylor Swift. That was very
No, it was
sweet.
Billie Eilish. It wasn't Taylor Swift.
Duh. Oh. Duh. Bad
Duh.
Guy.
Duh.
Bad guy.
By the way, have you noticed
guy.
How big Billie Eilish is?
I like that, Ray. You going into a tunnel?
Popularity-wise? Yes.
Ray just went into a tunnel. We lost him. All right, well, you can find me at PC Tony, Twitter, and Facebook. Please continue to listen to everything Chairshot Radio Network on all of your favorite streaming platforms. ProWrestlingTees.com/TheChairShot. Pick up a Chairshot t-shirt. Gentlemen, I enjoyed the discussion this evening. And at the same time, it felt a lot like war. So until next week, for Andrew Snowflake Balls Blaz, Ray Dollars as in cash, our brother Christopher Platt, myself, PC Tunney, remember to always use your head. And Andrade has been ixnayed because of COVID, Ray?
Because of, they say, travel issues. So that will be postponed until a future Rampage. So because of that, instead of being on the buy-in, the Women's Casino Battle Royal is now on the main card. So the one match I cared about is off the card.
Well, I guess the only thing I can say to you is...
Hate it.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Most tax pros leave a message.
It's Jane. I'm moving on to a TurboTax expert who beat your price. Adam Devine, tell him how I feel.
Hey, tax pro, she's been thinking twice. Best believe TurboTax will beat your price.
This is a tax break.
Switch to a TurboTax live expert and we'll beat what you paid your pro last tax season. Make the switch at TurboTax.com/beat your price. TurboTax full service only. Sign up by 12/20/2024 and file by 4/1/2025. Full details at TurboTax.com/beat your price.